You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Bruce Erickson was a councillor on Vancouver City Council for 13 years, but before he was elected to that position, he was a legendary organizer in the downtown East Side. It was Bruce that led the transformation of the image of the neighborhood from a skid road to a community. Bruce led the Downtown Eastside Residents Association, DERA, in its early years as it fought to improve the lives of people who lived in the old Vancouver neighborhood that centered on Hastings Street. Bob Sardi has written a new play about Bruce, and it is, rather surprisingly, a musical. Harry Rankin, Gene Swanson, and Bruce's longtime partner, Libby Davies, are featured along with Bruce and other residents who sing and dance the story of Bruce. Music for the play was composed by Earl Peach and Bill Sample. Everyone on the crew here at Red Eye has been to see the play this week at the Russian Hall, and we're joined now by playwright Bob Sardi. Hi, Bob.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks. I really enjoyed the play last night. It was great, and it was kind of unusual to experience Bruce Erickson's story as a musical. And I want to ask, for people who have never encountered Bruce or experienced him as a person, how would you describe him as a man?
Well, gruff is one of the words that's always used. A number of people have said they can't imagine a musical, you know, on the life of Bruce Erickson. In fact, Libby Davies, who knows him better than anybody else, expressed amazement that you could the concept even existed. But the music is not just strictly about Bruce, it's about the issues and how they relate to him. So he was a gruff person. He was very direct. He didn't suffer fools gladly, and he was hard to get along with. I know I've had many experiences with him that way, and I had to try to rise above my personal feelings, and you know, because he's a very important person, and he's had a profound effect on the neighborhood, and the story was more important than just my feelings or even his personality, because he accomplished so much.
Now, the narrator in the story is a reporter, and he's taking notes and kind of narrating and sort of telling you what's going on behind the scenes and setting you up. Is that reporter you?
Well, this is a question that I've been asked, and somebody I was a reporter for a long time at the Vancouver Sun, and when another Sun reporter was there last night and says, that is your voice in the voice of the reporter. And it is sort of a generic reporter person, but in actual fact, there is a scene in there where Erickson gets in a brawl and is ejected from the beer parlor, and the reporter is thrown out with him, and that was... That actually did occur. I was involved in that. That was the first time that I met Erickson. It was my introduction to him, and we got into a big brawl right away. So he made quite an impression on me right from the start.
How did it become a musical?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because when I started this, I had no idea of doing a musical. It was just a kind of a straightforward, dramatic narrative thing. And then... The first person I approached about music, I was thinking of, you know, incidental music, like, you know, if it's a, you know, a scary scene, blah, 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 or some kind of background or connecting music type thing. And this was Earl Peach, who I talked to, who was a music programmer and composer at Carnegie. And we sat around and talked about it. So he said, well, what about writing some songs for it? And I was just boggled in my mind by that. Well, you mean like... you know, they're sitting around in a beer parlor and all of a sudden they burst into song? Yeah, that's what I mean, he said. And are people going to go for that in the audience? He goes, oh, yeah, they'll go for that. All right, so I thought I would try it. And I wrote a song and a few songs. And I was thinking, oh, how do you write a song? You know, I'd never written a song before in over 60 years. How do you approach this? And I was thinking, oh, well, the first thing, Hastings Street Ramble, that was the first song, and I wanted to express the feelings that we have for Hastings Street, and it has such a bad image in the public and the way it's portrayed, but there's a lot of affection for it, and I wanted to do a kind of ironic twist on that. And then I remembered Judy Garland and Fred Astaire with just a couple of swells, and they're dressed up sort of like hobos, but they're talking about their swells, and they're roaming the streets, and they're having a great time. And so I started with the idea. It was a literary thing, not with the music, because I know I was reading For instance, my kind of role model for music is Rodgers and Hammerstein, and I was reading an interview with him, by the way, written by Jay Hamburger's father, who was a writer for The New Yorker, and he interviewed Oscar Hammerstein. And Oscar Hammerstein, Richard Rodgers would write the music, South Pacific, Oklahoma, flower drum song, and then he'd say, okay, we want a love song here, we want, you know, some kind of conflict thing. He'd write the music, and then Hammerstein would write the lyrics to it. But with the way I started it or did it, it was the reverse, and I know what I wanted to do, so I'd get the words for it, and then first Earl Peach and then Bill Sample would write the music for it.
Well, the music was very powerful and quite a lot of range. There was a song called I don't know if it's called The Tipping Point, but it was about the tipping point, and this concept of the tipping point kind of refers in one part of the play to a pivotal point in Bruce's life. Can you tell us that story?
Well, Bruce Erickson, we know him as the dynamic organizer, the way you've described him, and you know, city council, gadfly, and so forth. But actually, in his earlier life, he was a drunk on Skid Road. And the first scene depicts him being thrown out into a beer parlor and out in the lane and getting beaten up by a cop. That's changed his life. A tipping point is when something happens different, something really decisive in your life and changes your life. And his life changed at that point for various reasons. He went to Crease Clinic and sobered up and came out of that more dedicated. And it's also the metaphor for the neighborhood. When he came, it was a tipping point for the neighborhood. It turned from the Skid Road to residential neighborhood. And he was really instrumental in that, forcing the city to acknowledge that. And as a matter of fact, originally the name of the play was The Tipping Point. We worked with that name for a couple of years, but then somebody said, Carol Weaver, who works with the Theater in the Raw, well, why don't you get Bruce into that somehow and make it more, you know, just juicier? And so then I thought, oh yeah, Bruce the Musical, and it sounded sexier. It's definitely easier to sell a play called Bruce the Musical than The Tipping Point. So I really learned, you know, the content was the same, but the labeling was different, and I think it really helped us to attract attention and get people interested in it.
Well, and I think it's interesting for people who have encountered Bruce Erickson in their life to put Bruce in a musical together already kind of creates that tension, like something interesting is going to happen.
I know Libby, the next day she called one of her friends, this would be yesterday, and she said, I never imagined how you could write a whole musical about Bruce Erickson, and then there it is.
Gene Swanson, Harry Rankin, and Libby were also characters in the play. And were the characters who played the resident of the neighborhood, Marty and Danny, and I think it was Mrs. Leung, were they actual characters, or were they just based on the kind of people who were in the neighborhood?
Yeah, the latter. You named the four historical characters, and it's a historical drama. It's not a newspaper article or a documentary, so they're all... The personalities and the aspects of their personalities are people that I knew in the neighborhood or at City Hall, but they were sort of composite. This is kind of a way that, you know, historical fiction and historical dramas recorded. However, all the incidents, all the major incidents and the struggle over Carnegie, the struggle over the beer parlors and the fire safety, that's all based on actual events that happened, a number of which I was involved in.
Mm. Now, one of the key scenes in the play is also kind of a tipping point, which was when Carnegie got slated to become, or there was there was a fight won to get Carnegie to become a community center. It was an abandoned building at that time. Tell us about that story and what happened.
Well, the Carnegie Library had been at that corner of Main and Hastings since 1903. It was the cornerstone for the community when Vancouver, the main part of downtown, was there. Later it moved uptown towards Granville Street, so it became more of a neglected area, and eventually the library closed, and it was abandoned for years, 3, 4, 5 years. And then the city, there was many ideas of what to do with it, tear it down, gym for the police, and so forth. But the community This was right in the middle of the struggle of the community to be recognized as a community and not as a skid road. And every other community and neighborhood in the city has a community center. And this is a place where people can get away from the beer parlors and get into some safe and secure place where they can relate and learn things and do culture and recreation and just sit around and drink coffee and talk to your friends without being in a beer parlor and having booze pushed in your face. And that is a very strong theme. The Carnegie Center was a long fight. It took them over 7 years before it was opened. And the city had to recognize it. Erickson forced them to, not just him, of course, the whole organization, but he was the main leading person and it was his vision. And, you know, the community has so benefited from that. And Carnegie Center is essential. There's 2,000 different people a day go through there every single day. It's open every day of the year. It's the only community center in Vancouver that's that way. And we owe a lot of that to Bruce Erickson.
Yeah, it's a remarkable place. I probably go by there once or twice a week, and it's amazing how many people use that community center.
It's just phenomenal. Thronged. It's thronged. It's the way the most used one. And we there's a few songs, they all relate to it. Carnegie's mentioned a number of times, obviously, and there's a very, I find, a very moving song by Marty you mentioned. All he wants to do is play a game of cards, but, you know, they live in a little room that's so small that you can't get your friends in there. He tries to go to the bar, and they won't let him play cards because they just want him to drink, go to the park, it's raining, and there's just no place to just socialize with your friends, and that's why Carnegie is so essential. And that's why it's kind of the dramatic conclusion of the play. I'm not going to tell you how it turns out, whether they get it or they don't get it. You have to come and see the play for that.
This was your first experience writing a musical.
First play,
yeah.
Period.
First play.
Well, I did do a radio play about the Raymer mothers. They were at the Raymer Housing Project. It's called Stamps Place now, and they stop the trains.
Another great story.
There's so many great stories here. So that was a radio play, but this is the first, and it wasn't a musical, but this is the first musical.
What surprised you most in doing that play? What was it that was unexpected that happened?
Well, I think I'm right in the middle of this phase of it now, and I'm just amazed. You know, I think because I was a writer for so many years, and you start to emphasize the writing is so important and it's the main thing and everything. But I've just realized in the play it's so collaborative, and the amount of creativity that's poured into it by the performers, and they bring it to life. The music brings it to life. Almost everybody that's commented to me on it said, "Oh, the music's so great." And I realized, well, wait a minute, I wrote the script is good. I mean, obviously, and the music's on top of it. But I realized they brought it to life. And that's been a real amazing thing to me. And they changed it. Once you put it out there with the actors and the musicians, it becomes theirs. And I'm very happy for that because they have an investment in it.
And we should mention that you have musicians actually on stage playing, so
it's a live band.
It's really quite compelling. Yeah. If we look around the downtown east side today, what do we see that tells us that Bruce Erickson was here?
Well, Carnegie Center is right at the heart of the neighborhood. If you look across the street from there, there's Bruce Erickson Place. It's social housing. Social housing is the most stabilizing part of the neighborhood, and they started that, the idea of social housing. So if you look around, you see he was dead. He had died by the time most of it got built, but he definitely started the trend towards a more stable housing. The fact that you can go into a beer parlor if you're an old guy in the neighborhood and you're not going to be overserved until you're drunk and thrown out, that was all stopped because of him. Also, in the hotels, Vancouver's the only city in BC where sprinklers are mandatory in the hotels, and that is Bruce Erickson's doing, because so many people were dying before. There was like 5-10 fires a year, and that many people dying in the neighborhood. And the fire chief of the time even said, when it comes to fire safety, every city needs somebody like Bruce Erickson. So that is like a tremendous, tremendous legacy of safety. We may not see it ourselves if we don't happen to live in a hotel, but it's just made life, you know, just safer and more secure for so many people. And that's Bruce Erickson's legacy.
Well, it's a remarkable play and a great performance, so I encourage people to go down. Thank you for writing
it. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Bob Sardi, who wrote Bruce the Musical. The play continues with a show tonight, a matinee tomorrow, and shows from Wednesday till November the 16th. Is that Sunday?
That's Sunday,
That's
yes.
Sunday. For information, you can see the Heart of the City program. You can go to theaterintheraw.ca or phone 604-708-5448. The show's at the Russian Hall at Campbell and Kiefer Street in Strathcona.